Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, your Son, both chastised and comforted his disciples in the midst of their distress. So as we now come to hear your word and to be comforted by him, we pray that he too would strengthen us too, that we may not falter, but cling to him to the end of our lives and be brought to your everlasting kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our introit for this morning is taken from Psalm 107, which begins with the words, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And then the psalmist goes on to describe the different troubles from which the Lord has redeemed his people. Some wandered in desert wastes. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. And from verse 23 onwards, we read, Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. This, dear friends, is what the Lord does. He redeems his people from their trouble. At first sight, Jesus' words to the disciples seem unduly harsh. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? If you are in a boat with professional fishermen and they are afraid because of the conditions, you too ought to be afraid. People who live on the sea know its power better than others. They know how to deal with it. These men would have been on the lake from their childhood, taught probably by their fathers and maybe perhaps even grandfathers on how to read the skies, how to read the water surface, and what to do when things get tough. And if such people become afraid, then everyone is in deep, deep trouble. We see this very same scene repeated a few decades later when the Apostle Paul is also in a ship as a passenger of sorts, specifically a prisoner, being transported on a cargo ship to Rome to face trial in the imperial court. And that ship, contrary to Paul's advice, decides to brave the middle of the Mediterranean in the winter. And as far too many bodies of poor migrants and refugees in our day bear witness, that's a very dangerous enterprise. And as is common in the winter, a storm arises. And for a while, the soldiers do what they can, the sailors do what they can to keep things under control, including throwing off the cargo into the sea, just like Jonah's sailors did. And then when all that they have done has been done and has failed, they just brace themselves, they sit down and they wait to see what happens because there's nothing left to do. And as they approach land, Malta as it happens, they decide to make a dash for it. And it's only the presence of the soldiers that stops them from abandoning the ship. And they're approaching land, approaching a beach in a ship that is stricken, that cannot be steered, has no sails, and if it did, they'd be blown to bits anyway by the wind. And what does St. Paul do in this situation? He sits down and celebrates the Lord's Supper and encourages everyone to have a meal because you're going to need some energy when we hit the water. Everybody else about him is losing their head, including the sailors and the soldiers. And Paul alone seems to be a picture of calm. He says, have some lunch. You're going to need some energy for the next bit. Where does such confidence come? How can Jesus say to the disciples, it's foolish of you, professional fishermen, to be afraid in this storm? How can Paul, who was, by all accounts, only practical when it came to speaking and to making tents and had no formal training as a sailor any more than any of the rest of us who've been on ships as we've travelled, how can Paul say to those whose job it was to sail such ships, have some lunch, it'll be all right? Where does the confidence come from? Well, ironically, the confidence comes from exactly the same place as the confidence of Jonah, who says, I know that you can save yourselves, and you do it like this. You grab me by my wrists and my ankles, and you chuck me overboard. You do that, and you'll be fine. What is the source of this confidence? It is none other than the word and promise of God. Jonah had been told by God that he was to go to Nineveh. Paul had been told by the Lord that he would go to Rome. And therefore, Jonah knew that so long as he was travelling westward to Tarshish, possibly Spain, which is the exact opposite on the compass from the direction to Nineveh, so long as he was travelling that direction, things wouldn't get any better. But once he was no longer on the ship travelling west, there was nothing to hinder the ship travelling west from continuing westward. Therefore, he was confident. And in fact, it was so. Jonah lands in the sea, and the sea is calmed. Likewise, St. Paul had been told by the Holy Spirit he would go to Rome and bear witness to the name of Jesus in Rome, and therefore, it doesn't matter how big the storm is and how difficult the trouble seems to be, Paul is going to go to Rome. The only way he's going to get to Rome is that the people are taking him there, will take them there, so they'll all be fine. They just need to know it and then take the necessary precautions. Be ready to swim. If you can't swim, grab some bits of plank. And everybody have a sturdy lunch so that you've got the energy to swim. And so also with Jesus. If it's the word and promise of God that gave confidence to Jonah and to Paul in their predictions and in their preparations, what if your ship or your boat is inhabited by him who is the word and promise of God? When Jesus was asked by the religious authorities of his day to give them a sign, to demonstrate that he was who he claimed to be, he said that no sign will be given to this evil and unbelieving generation except the sign of Jonah. Jonah found himself in the storm. He was the cause of that storm. And when he was sacrificed in order to put away the danger to others, a fish swallowed him up for 3 days and three nights. And then, after that had been done, the fish gave up Jonah, and he went on to fulfill the Lord's plan to bring about repentance and rescue for the otherwise doomed people of Nineveh. Nineveh being the capital city and therefore representation of the enemies of God, the Assyrians. This was the sign that Jesus promised to those who questioned him. And so when we find Jesus on a ship in a storm, if we're not thinking of Jonah, we're not really thinking yet. What is happening here? Well, the reason the disciples were afraid was they knew very well what the red dangers were. The Sea of Galilee remains notorious for its sudden, unpredictable storms. There are different theories about how they come. One possibility is that there's a valley that essentially connects the Sea of Galilee to the Mediterranean Sea. And if there should be a change of air pressure at one end, the air pressure increases at the Mediterranean end, a great gush of wind is blown down the valley straight onto the lake with no warning, because it's not a local weather phenomenon. Something's happening 40 miles away. You can't see it coming, it just comes. It's like somebody turning on a hairdryer. No warning. They are afraid because they have no idea how this is going to end. But they're forgetting all along that they are in a boat with Jesus. And Jesus is the word and promise of God, who had come to do God's will, who had come, as was revealed at his baptism, as had already been revealed at his birth. And as he continually taught his disciples, directly and indirectly, had come to do God's will, to be the Savior of the world, to lead and rescue his people from the peril of their enemies. And that being the case, they should have known better than to be afraid. Because Jesus drowning in the middle of the Sea of Galilee was not going to be in any kind of fulfillment of that promise. This cannot be it. He had promised to do something. He had promised that he would fulfill the law and the prophets. And therefore, whatever happens to him drowning in this storm right now wasn't going to be it. The fulfillment was yet to come. And therefore, however threatening the situation might have been, it shouldn't have worried them, because Jesus was there. This is why Jesus was able to sleep. He was resting. He knew that this is just a bit of a rough journey, but that's all it is, because he was on the way to Jerusalem, to the cross. That was going to kill him. This wasn't. And yet, quite rightly, our sympathy should be with the disciples. Not because they were right, no, they were wrong, but because that is a picture of us. Is it not? When things threaten to engulf us, when we are concerned about what's happening to us or around us, whether it's to do with external circumstances, physical circumstances, state of our minds, state of the economy, world peace, or indeed our struggle against sin and temptation. And we feel that things aren't getting better, we are no less sinful than we were last year. And I can't remember registering any improvement from that year to that year from the previous one. Am I not perishing? Are these things not going to overpower us? How am I going to survive this life? And how am I going to survive death? This is precisely the sort of question which Jesus repeatedly addresses. Do not be anxious, he says, about what you will eat and drink, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Just like Jonah, just like St. Paul, you too have received a promise. When you got into the boat with Jesus, when you entered into the holy ark of the church, through that door of baptism, which God himself both opened and then sealed, like Noah and his family, like Jonah, like St. Paul, and like the disciples in the boat, you are given a full and firm assurance that this ship, this journey, is going to be fulfilled and completed according to God's will. The only danger that can actually genuinely threaten you is if you decide to go for a swim. If you decide that you're going to jump off and you're going to try go your own way. Exhibit A in this case, Jonah. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. I've said this before, but it's a little bit like somebody in London in 1940 saying, I'd like you to go on a diplomatic mission all by yourself into Berlin. Good luck. Go and negotiate on behalf of the Christians at the ISIS headquarters. Off you go. And Jonah neither wanted to, and probably dared to do this. The Assyrians, look them up, they were horrid people. They did really terrible things to their enemies. Like really, really terrible. The Romans were bad enough, the Assyrians were twice as bad. And so he decided to go his own way. He had a better plan for his life than to go to Nineveh. Going to the end of the known world in Tarshish was better than to go to Nineveh. But he forgot something that only the storm and the ship reminded him, that the Lord whom he worships is the creator of heaven and earth. He created the Assyrians. It was by his will that they rose to power in the Middle East. And it was by his will that he was going to remove that power from them when the time was right. If he went in the presence of the Lord, it didn't really matter where he went or what would happen, because he was in the presence of the Lord. Because where the Lord is, there is he. The Lord means I am who I am. I am the one who is. And if you are with him, you are with life. And it doesn't matter what your enemies do to you. The Lord lives, and if you are with him, you live too. And your own weakness, your own faults, your own sins, and the nastiness of anybody else outside of you cannot do anything against that. That is the confidence that we have in Christ. Christ entered into the storm, not of the Sea of Galilee, but he stepped right into the battle against the devil and all his might and against all the collective sin of the whole world, past, present, future, of all time. And he, like Jonah, was temporarily swallowed up by it for 3 days and three nights. But like the fish with Jonah, so also death had to give up, vomit up the Lord of life. The fish wasn't allowed to keep Jonah, and death wasn't allowed to keep Jesus. And if Jesus has gone into that victory already, and you are in him, then you are already victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And all they can do is to be like an angry crowd outside bulletproof glass. Make ugly faces and a lot of noise and throw things at you, and you can just stare calmly back and say, there is nothing you can do to me. so long as you remain inside the glass, inside the boat, inside the ark. In the 23rd Psalm, we say, whenever we sing or pray that psalm, you prepare a table for me before my enemies. They rant and they rave and they rage, and we just sit and feast with the Lord. And so the Lord has again prepared a table for us. And this table here is set before our enemies. You are still surrounded by enemies. You are your own worst enemy at times when you give in to temptation. And there are plenty of enemies in your body and outside your body, in your mind and outside your mind. But when we come here, we come to the word and promise of God, that nothing can overcome the love of God in Jesus Christ. And like St. Paul in his tour, we take a moment to eat and to drink so that we might have the strength to endure what is to come next. But the promise has been given. Whoever believes in Jesus will never die. Though you die, yet shall you live. Satan is defeated. Your sinful self is defeated. And the new creature in Christ is invincible so long as you remain in Christ. And therefore, with the sailors of Jonah's ship, the sailors and soldiers of the ship that Paul was on, and the disciples, and indeed those whom the Lord redeemed from their trouble in the Psalm 107, we say, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.